There was JFX 316. You can see him on the stage this Saturday night in Fairborn with I Died Trying. It's a two-man show, two guys on the stage performing, and we have those two guys here in the studio. We've got Jared, a.k.a. JFX 316. Welcome.
Hello.
Hey, and we've got Tony from I Died Trying. Welcome back to Why So. It's been
a minute. Thank you. Thanks for having us on.
My pleasure. So the show is called The Encore 2, and it's happening at the Fairborn Actors Theater, that little theater right there in the main drag in Fairborn. This is the second time this has happened. Give me a little history of this event, first of all.
Well, it's a really long story. I lost my last lineup in 2013. I Died Trying was always a three-piece. Actually, last time we were here, we were still a three-piece. And after I lost my last lineup, I started doing everything solo. And, you know, it took me a couple years. My mom got really sick, and she actually passed away in the middle of me recording the new record and everything. So I just decided early 2017 that I was going to actually try to do a show, maybe just one show. If it worked out, then I would do a couple. But so that was the whole point of, like, you know, the encore thing was, you know, it's like, this is my encore. And, like, the record is How to Invent Your Encore, because I kind of felt like it was kind of over for me. So, like, this is like a way for me to, you know, reemerge, rebirth, kind of a thing. So yeah, that's what the whole process of the show was basically built around that. So so the idea of the show was I was going to do two acts in a theater was suggested to me. I Die Trying belongs in a theater. That's what I was told by a good friend of mine. So found the theater and worked out a deal with the owner, and and I played there last year, did two sets. So this will be the sequel to last year. So
So what was that like, getting back up on the stage, you know, for the first time in a while? You're a solo performer, you've had some stuff going on, you're working on this album, you're in a theater, you know. Yeah. What was that like, that first time last year?
It was the way I described it before was, it was like every single emotion possible, like, was hitting me like 15 minutes before I had to go on, because, you know, I had never played solo before. It was the first time I had visuals, because I have monitors, 55-inch monitors, 4K monitors on stage, so there's video synced to everything. I Die Trying shows were always known as being extremely out of control, I guess would be a good word for it. So now I'm going to go out here and I'm going to play in a theater where it's, you know, the seats inside the theater are 1940s movie theater seats. So it's, you know, it's old school movie theater seats. So everybody's sitting, there's nobody standing. So the whole thing was fish out of water, kind of, I don't know. It was very overwhelming when I went out on stage. Actually, the entire first act last year, the first set, which was about an hour, it was like two-thirds through that before I kind of like settled in and kind of was like actually present. You know, it was like I was just kind of like I don't know, it was just like I was a ball of emotions. You can see it on the DVD too, that I see it on my face, where it's just like it's just like a raw nerve when I first went out there. And then, but then eventually, you know, I settled into it. It was a lot of preparation, like 5 months of preparation. I rehearsed for 6 weeks, 5 days a week. And when I practice, you know, completely balls out 100%. So it's like, I practice the same way I perform. So it's just, it's very grueling. So the physical aspect was there, but the emotional aspect was, it was rough. It was really rough.
It's like the way you describe practicing. I mean, it's like an athlete training
Absolutely.
For a competition.
I think of every, I see, cause I only play, I've only done, this will be my fourth show that I've done solo. So, and my shows are spread out pretty far, on purpose. And, I think of, getting ready for a show as a fight. Like I'm training to go to a fight. So, you know, I'm working on the audio stuff. I'm working on all the video stuff and all that. And then, and on top of that, I train, you know, I train for a show the way, you know, the way a fighter does, an MMA fighter or a boxer or whatever, you know, that's exactly the way I do it. So, you know.
So you made it through last year.
Yeah.
You did the thing.
Yeah.
You came, you saw, you conquered.
Yeah.
And you're back this year.
Yeah.
And you're sharing the stage this year with Jared, performing as JFX 316. You guys go back musically. Tell me a little bit about your mutual musical history.
I think we met like 16. I think it was about 16 years ago or so. And we played... I think we played our first show together. How many shows do you think we did at 14s together? At least a handful, right?
We probably played like 5 or 6 times.
That's what I was thinking, yeah. And you know, it was when I decided I was going to have, you know, other people do these type of shows with me, he was in my top 2 people that, you know, I wanted to do, that I felt like I needed to do stuff with. So, because he gets it, you know what I mean? I think that's extremely important. I mean, there's people who don't like what you do and people who do like what you do, and then there are people who get it, you know, and for me, you know, as far as Eye Trying goes, you know, he completely gets it. So
I've been watching this guy play for so long. Like the first time I saw Eye Trying was at 1470s, and I don't think we were playing. I was in another band called Morphic Resonance, but I think I was just there hanging out to watch stuff, and like I was on the side of stage because, you know, when you're in bands, you can just not be in the mosh, which is great.
Yeah.
And the only thing I remember about it is the last song, like he pulls out a butcher knife.
I knew this was going to get brought up. Let's hear how you tell this story.
Oh,
and then I'll finish the story the way it really happened. Are you going to say I threw the knife at a girl in the crowd?
You threw it on like onto the stage, and there were hands close.
Okay.
Not like real close, but almost like doing like, oh my god,
that's
this guy's awesome.
That is true. That's true. But I've heard that story told as I pulled it out and I threw it at a girl's head in the crowd.
It's like your Alice Cooper story.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's, you know, it's completely, that's completely by our portion. But yeah, the way he told it, that's actually completely true.
Oh, man. Yeah. It was like, yeah, I got to talk to this guy.
Yeah.
That's, you know, and like, it was super, it's all like, Eye Trying's always been super intense and it's super focused, like on top of like Tony's one. Tony is legit like the nicest guy in the scene, which is a weird thing to say because it's been like so many, like I feel like we've been in and out of the scene so many times.
Oh yeah.
But it's just like he's genuinely like the nicest dude, and like that's what always made me interested in it, because I'm like, yeah, I know he's doing this for him, he's doing this because this is what he has to do, and he's giving 100% into it. And it's like, I've never seen this guy do like, you know, a halfway show. Like he's all like, I was at that show last year when, you know, when he was in the theater, I was like, you know, I had a tear coming out of my eye. Like, oh, like, cause I know all the stuff that cause we're friends. So I know all the stuff that he had been going through to make this happen. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, just seeing it like actually happen. And he pulled it off. And the whole thing was like, I think I tweeted, it's like, this is the greatest show I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think like, I think your quote is actually on the made the DVD.
Nice.
You know? Yeah, which it's a great quote, and it was like, oh my god, it's amazing. But you said Eye Die Trying is the best rock act in the world, hands down. And I was like, oh man, come on.
Yeah.
Kind of setting me up for failure in some people's eyes there,
but it's just so yeah. I mean, I appreciate being on the list of people like, hey, you know, you should definitely do this, because like I've had a lot of that too, where it's just like, it's been a long time since I've done any solo, any, I guess, announced solo stuff. I've done stuff here and there, and I like do DJ shows, and sometimes people are just like, oh man, you gotta get up and do some songs. And I'm like, I really don't want to do that. And then it's, you know, but this is like the first time it's been like, hey, I'm gonna be up doing a show. And you know, people are into it. They're just like, oh hey, we just heard you that you do music, and I've never really seen you. And I was like, yeah. it'll be a thing. I mean,
well, I'm curious. You know, we heard one of your tracks, and that was a new track that we heard. And for somebody who works very much in the electronic, you know, very composed music sphere, what is live performance like for you? I mean, how do you get in that headspace? Because I can see where creating that work would be a very solitary, meticulous. How are you tackling live performance?
It's a tough deal. When you're doing a lot of electronic stuff, the perception is just you hitting a button, and it's like the superstar DJ thing, right? Where it's like you hit the button and the computer does all the work, and you just, you know, throw your hands in the air like you don't care. But it's just like, it's always kind of a challenge, because I don't want to be the check in your email guy, but at the same time, when you use computers to compose and make, and you know, there's a lot that you can't reproduce otherwise, and it's striking the balance, because mm-hmm. I'd rather just have, you know, have my laptop and a controller and have it be a genuine thing, because that's what I do. You know, I make songs on my little MPC box or on my computer in my house, and you know, I sample stuff, but I sample a lot of times it's like me playing guitar, or me mm-hmm. yelling into my closet, or you know, I have a field recorder, and I just me, you know, taking little bits and pieces of like just random noises and kind of manipulating them into something. And I think that's it's an organic part of it. Like, it's, some people would see it as being artificial or not real, because you know, no one's playing a guitar, or no one's doing this. Like, but I did, and you know, I do. Yeah. And it's like, I'm a long time ago, I had this. Somebody had told me that anything is an instrument if you think it is.
Absolutely.
And I really, really subscribe to that, because it's just like you can use anything in a composition. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely kind of a balancing act, and you have to give the faith to people when they see you doing it that, you know, they get it, instead of like, you know, your preconceived notions of, like, he's just going to hit play and I guess, I don't know, he's just going to say stuff over it, but there's a lot of other stuff going on with it. So I try to keep it, like I said, I try to keep it interesting, an interesting kind of show to watch, because I know that in the back of my head that's going to be the perception of people who maybe haven't seen a lot of like electronic based mm-hmm. music, or seen me, or seen like how, you know, I guess how you perform that in that kind of like realm. So I'm going to try to make it interesting. Like, it's definitely, I definitely do it a very different way than the last time I played, which is, like I said, a while.
So we're talking about the Encore 2. It's happening this Saturday night at the Fairborn Actors Theater. And let's talk a little bit about this space. Like, what a cool space for both of you. Like, how cool to see like both of you in that kind of environment for you guys both as performers. What's it like to be bringing this into a theater, into a seated space? Definitely different than 1470s back in the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it sure is.
It's the thing about the theater for me is I went in there. Well, I little quick backstory on the theater, which I think is very interesting, is I wrote the owner on a whim on Facebook about renting the theater, or to see if he would be interested in you know, letting me do a show there. And the same day that he and I messaged back and forth, I worked for DPNL, and I actually had a special read. So I actually went to the theater.
Nice.
And he's taking me down to the basement to the to go read the meter. And I was like, excuse me, sir, you know, what's your name? And, you know, he told me what his name was. And I was like, man, it's like manifest destiny or something. I was like, but you're not going to believe this. I was like, but I'm the guy you've been messaging with. And he was like, I thought that was you. So and then he took me into the theater, which was the first time I'd ever been in that theater. And there's just a vibe in there because it's mm-hmm. well, in 2 years, that will be a 100-year-old theater. So it started out as the very first silent movie theater around, and then they opened the bigger theater on Broad Street in Fairborn. So the movie theater moved there, and then this has just been a playhouse since then. So, you know, 98 years of people in there acting and pouring their heart out and stuff, you know, that energy's in there. You know what I mean? And it's just the smell of that room. And it's my favorite room I ever played in my life. I've played Eye Die Trying's done over 700 shows. It's my favorite room I've ever played. It's my favorite room. And yeah, it's kind of weird. Like the thing with Jared is like, you know, you mentioned it's not like 1470s. Like it is a little weird when like everybody's just sitting down.
You know,
especially for like a rock show or whatever, you know. But I liked it, man. I really do. It's a different experience. And it's really cool for him because he was there in the crowd last year, and then this year he'll get to actually perform. Mm-hmm. So you know, you got to see both. Yeah. Both sides of it.
I mean, fun fact, I have played there before. I played with Dr. Meat.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I may or may not have jumped out of the balcony at the show. It was a bad idea, but it was, you know, it made for a good time. I'm probably not going to do that this time.
I don't think my insurance policy would cover that.
I don't think my insurance policy would cover it. But, yeah, it's definitely like when we played there, it was just, again, it was like, it's a very different kind of environment when it's a seated crowd. I mean, there were some people standing up, but there was like, you know, there's like a balcony up at the top. There's like seats off to the sides. And it was kind of like, whoa, this is really different than like most places that we play. 'Cause a lot of times when, you know, you're on kind of this level of performance, it's like, you know, you're playing in a corner somewhere. Yeah. You got a PA, it's like a Walkman stereo, and it's like, you know, you don't really have a lot of room. But this is just like, you know, I'm just used to running into everybody I play with, and then it's just like, oh, to just like take four steps and still not be anywhere close to anybody. It's weird. Like, I've played on big stages before. It's very few and far between, but it's very kind of freeing, and once you kind of like get out of that space of like constantly trying to like avoid people, you know, I'm always in bands with a bunch of people.
Yeah,
like
you have been.
Morphic had like eight people in it, yeah. And yeah. You know, Dr. Me had four people in it, but three very active people moving around. So it'll be very interesting to just be me and just like know that I can kind of move around and not really and kind of get out of my head that like, oh, hey, I need to watch out for a guitar hitting me in the face or something. Or, but I'm probably not going to fall off the stage. So that'll be cool.
Probably, maybe.
Well, that was
allegedly.
That was another thing for me with the theater that was like a big plus is, you know, Eye Die Trying with my last lineup, we had gotten to the point where we were playing, you know, it was McGuffey's at the time, it's Odd Bodies now, but we were opening a lot of big shows there, and there was, you know, 400 and 500 people. And I kind of wanted to get away from playing in front of big crowds with a whole bunch of people looking at their phones. And, you know, so it's like, I'd rather play to, you know, 100 or less people who are like engaged to what I'm doing 100%. And they're not just there to like stand out on the patio and, you know, or look at their phone or, you know, so, you know, that was a big plus for me when I realized, because I thought it was going to be a lot bigger than it was until I saw it. And then I realized, oh, this is, you know, I was shooting for a 50 seater place, a lot smaller place, but this is a little over 100. But yeah, it was that's another thing about it that I like is the intimacy. Everybody's like, you know, we're all right there in that little narrow room. And it's great.
And it works for music that's all not. Off kilter is a weird thing, but it's like outside of mainstream music because again, it's like, you know, we don't really do bar music.
No,
like it doesn't
no.
really, it,
yeah.
it only goes so far. Like I said, it's, I don't really do like, you know, pound of Budweiser stuff.
Right.
And it's, you know, no one's going to have a good time doing that. So it's like you kind of have to find different kind of avenues. And
yeah.
Like, you know, I like, you know, the internet's kind of interesting for that, because like a couple times I've kind of like, kind of low key, just like, you know, turn on like webcam or like streaming and just like, I'm just going to play some stuff and see if anybody cares.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, but it's intimate, but it's widespread. And I think I think this kind of venue works really well for, like, yeah, like I said, last year, like it would have been a very different vibe if he had done that show last year anywhere else. It's not like it would have been better or worse, but it definitely wouldn't have been as impactful.
I 100% agree with that. And I knew that as soon as I walked in the theater, it was like, oh, this is exactly what, you know, what I'm looking for to do, you know, this kind of stuff. Because, like, you know, I mean, I could comment on what you just said is like, I've played so many bar shows, so many of those things. Like, I just, there's 25 bar shows every weekend. They're awesome. I've went to a ton of them. I've played a ton of them, but it's like, I just don't want to do that anymore. You know, I'd rather play to intimate crowds who are engaged, you know, to what, you know, to music as an art, not just as like a hang.
Yeah.
Or, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever. Not saying there's anything wrong with the other side of that at all, because, you know, I mean, there's a place and there's room for everybody. But, you know, I just wanted to give, hey, here's a different thing other than going to, a normal show on any regular weekend. You know, here's something different. You know, it's in a seated theater. It's actually an old haunted theater that, you know, I found out after the fact. It's really cool. But, you know, old theater, you know, totally different vibe, you know, solo performers. That's another thing, too, with Jared that made me want to, you know, work with him, too, is, you know, this visceral solo performer kind of type thing. I've always been, like, really drawn to that, you know, and I just think he's one of the best of them doing it. So it was a no-brainer for me to have him do the show with me. And hopefully, you know, we can do more of these cool, interesting shows, you know, for people who are wanting something interesting, I guess.
Yeah, it's like the live venue is a very, it's people talk about how live music is like becoming less powerful, and like on one hand I can understand what they're saying, but the other hand is just like, you know, I, not to date myself, but like back in 1853 when I was a mere lad,
you had to walk uphill both ways barefoot to get to the shows.
But you didn't have a lot of options for shows then either. It was just like, it was playing a bar to, you know, that you probably weren't old enough to even get into.
Absolutely.
Or you know, do a pay to play thing where you're selling tickets for to open for some band who couldn't care less about you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you just kind of invent your own scene and like you go and play in somebody's garage. Like everybody pitches in to have some kind of decrepit PA somewhere and rent a space, and you know, everybody's just cool with it. And you don't see a lot of that happening, and I think that's kind of like,
at all.
Yeah,
I don't think you see it at all.
I think it's still out there.
It's just so, it's so buried in everything else that it's just, you don't, you know, it, yeah, it just seems squashed by so many other typical type,
yeah,
know,
it's
things.
Yeah, so the interesting thing about that is, I will say, just like in the past, I would say 2 months, I have seen all of a sudden different people starting to pop up in the music community trying to do shows in either traditional venues with some different rules or different variables, or in non-traditional venues like you guys are doing, that are creating exactly what you guys are talking about, which is like creating a space for listening.
Yeah.
Not a space for drinking where there happens to be music,
right.
Which, you know, much love to that too.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I think that there's like a desire there, like to go back to that exactly kind of what you're saying, Jared, about like, you know, those you know, the VFW halls and the garages and the house shows and all of that. There seems to be some renewed energy toward that, which is kind of exciting, honestly.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, you know, in reference to like the VFW hall style thing, it was about the show.
Right.
It was about the experience of everybody there. It was about the music. It was about all that. And then everything else was kind of secondary, or, you know, fifth on the list in comparison to, you know, the show, because it was, that's why everybody was there. And now it's like I said, it's more of a hang, you know, I see that a lot more. It's more of a, you know, it's more of a hang and less of a, like a collective experience with people where they're, you know, engaging in something together between, you know, artist and audience, or, you know, that kind of a thing. I think it just seems like there's less and less of that and more of the other. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to kind of tilt it back.
Yeah. I mean, more power to you if you want to go pay $200 for a show to like look at your phone at it.
Yeah.
Like I haven't gone to any big shows, but there's been shows where like I want to like, you know, I want to tape some of it, but it's just kind of like the idea of like you're in a big room and you're still not really connected,
because
especially with like kind of like on, you know, the hip hop side of stuff, like it's, I see because I try to keep up and like, you know, see what's popular, and like, you know, I'm really interested in the like the live show, like any like record, like you can record stuff and it can be perfect at some point. So, and you see like live shows and it's just like just sees of people on their phone.
Oh yeah.
Of, you know, and it's weird to me. Like, I don't want to put that down because, again, no. It's like, it's something that I've done before, but it's like such a weird thing that, you know, someone's like, you know, playing their guts out, and it's just like, oh, I'm just gonna make sure I get this for the gram real quick. Yeah.
What's gotten me as far as that goes is the next level of now. I've been to a few like bigger shows lately where people run as far as they can get to the stage, and then they turn around to do the selfie the band behind them.
That's awesome.
And it's just like, I
may or may not have taken people's phones while we were playing. Maybe. I'm not going to cop to anything. I'm sure no one has any video of it. So,
I mean, I think there's room for everything. You know, I mean, there's show, you know, a whole gamut. I just feel like there's the side of like what we're talking about, we're doing is thinning, and the other side is gaining. So it's just, you know, I think there should be a little bit more of people taking a little bit more chances and willing to kind of put it on the line a little bit more than the same old safe thing.
I think there are a lot of people who want to, but kind of don't feel like they, you know, they can take that step. Like,
I agree 100%.
I don't want to be like, oh, nobody wants to come out here and, you know, get raw and play a show. Like, I think there's a lot of people who do kind of have like maybe more of an off kilter kind of idea of music, or they have like a band, or they have an idea, but they don't really have like a venue, or they have an outlet for it, because I think the venue side of it is more and more safe, because the venue side of it is about, you know, securing the bag, as it were. So it's like, you know, they like, and I don't want to like freeze anybody. I don't want to call anybody out. Like, there's a lot, like most of the people I've known at venues are cool, but
oh yeah, me too.
I mean, and you know, they care about the music stuff.
Absolutely.
But they're, you know, with a traditional venue, there's going to be that, we got to, you know, that was cool.
Right.
We got to make this. And if you take enough chances that don't make, you know, X, Y, Z, you have to go with the safe, you know, the kind of safer, you know, money making thing. And it's just better to have both of those out there. It's like, Low End Theory and LA closed, or it's closing this summer. They're doing a series of shows, and it's like, I've always wanted to play in that place, and
absolutely.
It just sounds like such a cool vibe, and people go there to see different stuff, and when stuff is, you know, when you have an artist that's different or a band that's different, they're just like, well, let's see what this is about. And you know, it's not like the old days where it's like dudes in the front, arms folded, like,
oh, yeah,
come on, like, yeah, impress me. And it's like, oh man, this is gonna be tough.
As funny as it is, though, and as much as I hated that, because you know how it was being a kid, 16 and 15, 16 years old, playing a show, and you got the guys who are 18 who feel like they've been going to shows for 2 years, and those are the guys with their arms crossed. I would so much rather play for those guys with their arms crossed, though, than like a row of people looking down at their phones.
That's fair. That's a fair point.
Bring back the guys with the crossed arms. I need to put
phones in pockets, arms crossed.
Phones in pockets, arms crossed, mean look on your face. Yeah.
Angry dudes
just
in the
angry.
Back.
Yeah, but at least they're looking at you, man.
Yeah.
At least they're looking at judging you, but at least they're looking at you, man.
We're talking to Tony from I Died Trying and Jared from JFX 316. They're playing this Saturday night. The show is called The Encore 2. It's at the Fairborn Actors Theater. And I want to get to some more music, you guys. We're going to take a listen to a new one from I Died Trying. This is from the How to Invent Your Encore album, the album that you were telling us a little bit about earlier. And the track we're going to hear is What You Won't Do Is What I Will Do. We'll be back to tell you a little more about this show, but first, take a listen to this one. This is Kaleidoscope on Why So.
It's your God!
That's a new one from I Died Trying. The album is called How to Invent Your Encore. And we are talking about the Encore 2. It's a live show happening this Saturday night at the Fairborn Actors Theater. I Died Trying is going to be performing, and JFX 316 will be there. We've got Tony and Jared in the house representing both musical acts. The two guys that are going to be on stage with us. And just hearing the intensity in both of your music and in you know, kind of talking about creating that listening experience, what would you tell somebody like who's thinking about coming out? What would be like your one sentence, like, this is why you should come to this show?
I'll pass that one off to you. We literally just had to talk about how do we vocalize this, and then she asked that question
on the spot. Gotcha, journalism.
Yeah.
It's just, I would say it's a unique experience to see. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's having being alone on stage and having, you know, a performance is a tightrope to watch. For sure. It's, you know, I'm not gonna say that a lot of it's probably not like, oh man, how, like, is this guy gonna fall on his face, is this, you know, how's he gonna do this? And I think there's a lot to that, where it's like the tension of, can you pull it off, can you make that an interesting thing? But it is very personal, and it is very intense when it's just like, it's all on you, all eyes are on you, and you know, you react in that situation in maybe unpredictable ways. Like, no one's going to, there won't be any bodily harm.
But it's a moment, and you're going to be in that moment, experiencing that moment. Everybody's in it together, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's at the height of music. It's, I think, for me, is when, you know, whatever you're watching, whether it's like, you know, it's a person on stage, or it's like a full band, or it's whatever. It's that kind of moment that, you know, people on stage are, you know, they're performing. They're, you know, creating something in front of people. And that's it's a tough deal in a lot of senses, you know, no matter what, like no matter what genre, no matter what configuration or what way you're doing it. It would be as intense if you're watching somebody paint something on stage, because like, how do you paint something in a giant in front of a giant crowd and make it an interesting thing?
Yeah.
It's that on the spot, like, creative, you know, we're making something in front of people kind of experience that you may or may not get a lot of depending on how you live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the vulnerability aspect that you mentioned on was with the being up there by yourself. I kind of tried to prepare myself for that, but it's just different. It's, you know, it's like being up there without pants on, you know. It's like, you know, cause you know, when you write music that is as personal as you can make it and is as honest as you can make it and no swill, no nothing. And then on top of it, you got to get up there and you got to, you know, you're putting that out for people to hear is one thing, but getting up in front of people by yourself and doing that, performing that live is, it's nerve wracking, but I think it's probably the most honest, type of performance you can do. Cause you know, when it's a group of people, it's awesome. I'm not taking anything away from that. It's a group of people, but you know, it's, you know, when you're up there by yourself, you know, kind of like Jared said, is it's just like a, you know, you're like the center catalyst for, you know, everything going on around you, you know, and then having the, you know, having, cause you know, I have video stuff going that's synced to everything as well. So you've got the visual of me and the visual of the stuff on the screens, then all the, you know, audio stuff, the overwhelming kind of audio stuff. And, you know, yeah, it's a, yeah, the vulnerability aspect of it is something that's, I actually kind of cherish now. It's that's one thing about it that I kind of loathed when I first started doing it by myself, but now I really like it. I think it's easier to connect with everybody I think people are a little bit more open when they realize it's just you and it's something different. You know, they're a little bit more open to receiving, you know, what you're giving out, for lack of a better way of putting it. So,
and what's next for you guys musically moving forward from Saturday?
I just put out a release last night called "Who Is the Center of the Universe." It's a series of like vocal-less beats and like kind of an environment stuff that I did on my little MPC box I bought, and it's basically just limiting myself to this kind of one machine and making music off that. My goal is after this is kind of just kind of kick myself into kind of either getting out and playing live more or putting out more stuff, because I've literally just been sitting on music for years.
Yeah, and like been doing it for
in
years.
An Aphex Twin esque like yeah. hard yeah. drive vault. So you know, getting stuff out there, and you know, I don't have that mindset of like I'm gonna be like, I don't know, Drake or somebody. Like I just wanna I have a bunch of music I'm into, and the sooner it's like kind of out there and I can make something else and be into something else and just kind of be more creative, and you know, that it's mostly just so I can, you know, create more stuff, and it makes life a lot easier.
Yeah. Well, may this be the catalyst then.
Yeah.
It's awesome. What about you, Tony? What's next for you?
Well, after this show, I have another show booked September 29th. I'm playing at the Plaza Theater, which is a movie theater in downtown Miamisburg. And I'm opening for a classic horror film there. I did I opened for Creepshow in December. So in September, I'm opening for a movie that, if you come to the show Saturday, you'll get to see a trailer for, and you'll see posters for the show. I haven't released yet what the movie is that I'm actually opening up for, but it's a fan favorite, so it should be pretty cool. And then beyond that, I'm going to continue to work on music and video, and I'm going to start recording a new record. I'm going to start writing and recording a new record as throughout the winter and stuff. I'm probably going to take the winter off from playing shows and maybe try to come back in the spring with at least a new EP or something like that. So, yeah, I'm just going to stay busy. I get in a lull in between shows, and then I hate starting to get ready for a show because I know what it puts on me physically and emotionally and just everything. It's just so – it gets very, very difficult. But, like, now, you know, here we are 3 days or whatever before a show, and, like, I'm stoked to get this show under my belt and start working on more stuff, you know. So that's my goal. Hopefully this time next year I'll be doing the Encore 3, hopefully. Hopefully maybe with Jared back on again, and hopefully I'll have at least a new EP, if not a new record done. So that's kind of my goal.
Excellent, so. Excellent. We'll come out Saturday night to the Fairborn Actors Theater. It's the Encore 2, I Died Trying, and JFX 316. We've got details up at facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio. Get your tickets because space is limited. There's a link in the event page there. Nice, intimate, small space. So that means that you need to go ahead and get those tickets sooner than later so you have your space. We're going to go out on another one from JFX 316. This is another new one. And you guys, this has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for having us. New music from JFX 316. This is Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO.